think that qualifies as our time with him. And it's not that you're supposed to, just sit down and just think about Jesus for all your life. It's that that relationship is there to develop as well. Let me put it this way. Imagine you wanted to get to know me, John. Instead of talking to me directly, you start asking people about me. You start listening. Let's say there was, some podcasts about me. That'd be nice. You'd probably gather a lot of information. You'd probably ask things like, what does John think about this? What does John think about that? But you wouldn't really actually know me. And here's the difference. With Jesus, it doesn't have to be that way. We ask questions like, what does Jesus say about this? Or what does Jesus think about this? Or what does Jesus say about the anxiety I have? Or what is my purpose? Where, those are honest questions. They're good questions. But like I said earlier, is you have the ability to go directly to him about these things. And it starts by asking. It starts by the seeking. But it can't be the ultimate depths of our faith. So it starts with hearing, and then it turns into walking. And you're never going to reach the end of your relationship with Jesus. Think about it. Relationships, there's no breakup with Jesus. There is no end to your relationship with Jesus. And that's what is so unique about it, is that, God isn't searching for this perfect person. He's searching for this person that is in relationship with him. Because through that, he continually changes you over time. And that's the wonderful thing about walking with him. You spend time with him, and it allows you to recognize his voice in your life. And something starts to change. You start loving people differently. You start thinking differently. You start giving differently. You start telling others about him. And that's because he becomes real to you, and he is real. You start giving more freely to people in need. And you start letting go of habits that once had a grip on you. And not out of pressure, but because you know Jesus. And when you know him, you want to walk with him. And that's the invitation today for all of us. Every day is to not just learn about him, but to walk with him. Your confidence in Jesus grows when you take time to walk with him rather than just hearing about him. So, an outline of the message today is keep it simple. We're going to learn how we can walk with Jesus immediately, consistently, purely, and fully. Following Jesus is a continuous relational surrender that transforms your thoughts, love, and daily life as you walk closely, obediently, and purposefully with him. It's not merely about believing the truths regarding him. Rather, it involves trusting him deeply enough to remain near, obey his teachings, and engage with the work he is doing. So, what does it mean to walk and follow Jesus? Here's my illustration. That was it. It's that simple. Sometimes, picture in your head that you're going on a walk with Jesus in your daily life. Say you take a lunch break and you go for a walk. Spend that time with Jesus. Spend time praying with him, walking with him. And wherever you're going throughout your daily life, remember that he is with you. You are walking with him. And I think sometimes we can overcomplicate this, like you're hearing some magical voice all of a sudden that, I'm sending you to Seekonk. No. You just follow what you're supposed to do, and Jesus will speak to you in these moments to talk with you, to encourage you, to lead you to do different things. It's really sometimes that simple. So it's not just about believing certain truths about Jesus. It's actively trusting him enough to pattern your life after who he was and who he is. So our practical description today is walking with Jesus. Staying close to him daily. You can do this through prayer. You can do this through scripture. And it makes you more aware to his presence. Another way is letting him lead your decisions. Not just big life choices, but attitudes as well. As well as reactions and priorities. This whole message there. Becoming like him over time, we grow in humility, love, and obedience. And that's another way that we can walk with Jesus. And here we go. Joining in his mission. This is the one I want to hit today. Loving others, serving those in need, and pointing people towards him. And if you would, turn to Mark 1. You're going to see something today. Depending on the translation you have, you may see something interesting today. Mark 1. So, and when Jesus called people to follow him, he didn't make it complicated, you know. He said, follow me. And here's what's amazing about this. And I love that our scripture includes this word. It says they followed him immediately. Turn to your neighbor and say, immediately. Immediately. I know, it's a long word. Turn to your other neighbor and say, immediately. So your confidence in Jesus grows when you take the time to walk with him rather than just hearing about him. And so, what's the first way we can walk with Jesus? It's this simple. Immediately. We have the opportunity to follow Jesus immediately, at this very moment, right now. We can immediately set aside our current activities, priorities, and thinking, and follow Jesus. As you're going to see here, the disciples had a decision to make. And I love how the Bible pointed this out. It says they made it immediately. Walking alongside Jesus now, immediately, opens up our eyes to the miraculous works he can do. All right, let's jump in here. Mark 1, 12. Let's get that one. Mark 1, 12 through 13 here. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels began to serve him. Notice, immediately was even applicable to Jesus. This is right after Jesus was baptized. God said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Jesus then goes into the wilderness immediately. I don't know about you, but I'm not rushing to go not eat for a couple days and hide in the woods. You know, but that's the type of response Jesus had to the will of his Father, was immediate. It was an immediate reaction that Jesus had. So, we go on a little bit further. We go to verse 18. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And he was passing along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Next verse. Immediately, the Pharisees went out. Ooh, I missed the verse that I was looking for. Okay, but, that's a crucial verse. But if you have it in your Bible, it says the disciples immediately left their nets. Jesus says to them, follow me. And what was their response? They dropped their nets and then began to follow. That's it. That's how simple it was. It was, okay, I'm busy with this job. You know, I'm busy doing this. But then Jesus comes up. He says, follow me. And they're like, and they start following him. It's immediate. Your response to Jesus to follow him doesn't have to take years. It doesn't have to take, you know, centuries for you to be able to go follow Jesus. It's immediate. And that's what's awesome, is it doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be, you know, when you feel like you've got your life together. It's immediate. Notice Jesus didn't say, quote me the first five books of the Torah. No, he didn't say none of that. He said, follow me. And what was their response? They immediately followed. Another time is in Mark 1:20. I'm going to turn there. Mark 1:20. There we go. Mark 1:20. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. These are two more disciples. This is James and John. I'm going to go back a little bit. Verse 19, Mark 1:19. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, putting their nets in order. Immediately he called them, and they left their nets, their father, in the boat with the hired hands and followed him. Immediately. Skip down to verse 40. Here's the awesome thing about immediately. Then a man with a serious skin disease came to him and on his knees begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I am willing, he told him. Be made clean. And what's that word? Immediately the disease left him and he was healed. Let's see. Your response to Jesus is immediately. The work of Jesus can be immediately, and the impact of Jesus can immediately be seen. It doesn't have to take, you know, lives of experience. It just is in that following him. In that following him, in that coming to him. This man had to go find Jesus and say, I know you are the way that I can be made clean. That's what it took. And guess what? Immediately, the disease left him. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Our God works immediately. Let's see. Here we go. Back to Mark 1:17. I'm just going to read to verse 18. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. And then you go to verse 20 here, and you see immediately again, he called them, and they left their father. Immediately. Here's another point. Actually, before we go there, turn to Mark 2:12. Mark 2:12. Let me see this once again. So this man, again, comes up to Jesus. It's another one. And he can't walk. And he's been sitting on this mat for who knows how long. And what does it say in verse 12? Immediately he got up and took the mat and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Let me tell you today, you have the power in you, through Jesus working in you, to do things immediately. You can follow Jesus immediately, and you can act some things. You can allow God to do some things for other people immediately as well. There's plenty more stories of here throughout Mark of Jesus doing some wild things and things changing immediately. I don't have time to get into all of them today, but just note that this first part that we can think of in following Jesus happens immediately. The miraculous works you can do happen immediately. The work Jesus can do in your life can happen immediately. Now here we go. Here's the negative side of immediately. There's a pro and a con here. Mark 3:6. What was that word? Immediately. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So this is the Pharisees having an immediate response. The Pharisees are having an immediate response to not walk with Jesus. Now, just as your response can be immediate to follow Jesus, your response to not follow him can be immediate as well. Here's another thing. Mark 4, 18, verse 20. It's Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. Others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the seduction of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word. And it becomes unfruitful. But the one who sows on good ground are those who hear the word, welcome it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. So this is Jesus warning us of what will keep us from walking with him. What will keep that word from growing in us? What will keep that walk with him from continuing? And what are those things? Well, worries of this age, seduction of wealth, and the desires for other things will cause you to be unfruitful. Now, before we dive into that, just as I said, your response to Jesus can be an immediate thing. You can think that you're not denying Jesus, but you're just like okay with Jesus. That's still an immediate response, nonetheless. You can be like, oh, I'm, you know, maybe not ready to try this whole church thing out. Maybe not ready to go, like, you know, crazy Jesus person yet. But, you know, he's all right with me. There's this old adage where this man's standing, and he had just passed away. And it goes like this. Satan said, no, there you are. Come with me. And the man said, but I sat on the fence. I chose neither you nor him. Satan said, that's okay. I own the fence. Your following of Jesus' immediate response. It can't be a partial in. It can't be a, you know, maybe tomorrow. It's an immediate response that needs to require you in some way to do something. And Jesus makes that plain to us. He says, follow me, walk with me, seek and you will find me. This is what Jesus says. But now we see here, if we want to walk with Jesus, these are some of the things we need to watch out for. He says, worries of this age, seduction of wealth, and the desire for other things will cause us to be unfruitful. Think of it this way, if you're walking with Jesus, like if we're on the walk with Jesus out here, you know, and you see, oh, this, I want to do something like this with my life. Jesus is still going. You're back here picking this thing up. Many times when we're trying to walk with Jesus, it's these subtle little things that cause us to fall away from walking with him. And here's the other thing, is while you're back here, you might be seeing on some things, like maybe, who knows, maybe social media, or you hear some things that God's working some crazy things, but you're not over there. Why? It's because sometimes we've gotten distracted with these things here. Let's jump into this. He keeps saying, he says, then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and they hear it immediately. Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. So notice that. Again, you're under attack immediately when you hear about Jesus. There's something that's going to come into your brain and your spirit that when you hear about Jesus is going to produce some sort of reaction. It's either to follow him, to be partial towards him, or to completely deny him. That's an immediate response, because what Satan does is he takes the truth of what Jesus says and he takes it away if we're not welcoming it. Let's continue. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root in themselves. They are short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately stumble. It'll happen fast. You'll be thinking everything's great with Jesus one day, and then you did something, and all of a sudden, you're watching him walk right by you. But the great thing about God is that if we are quick to return to him, there is much grace that is given to us. This ability that Jesus says, okay, you've messed up, you've failed, but I'm still choosing to love you and allow you to come back and walk with me. But the thing is, if our desire is to then change, here's the thing about desires. Desires are almost full concepts. Let's say it like this. It's a complete thing. So you're completely desiring the things of this world. You're completely desiring the other things. That desire is no longer for Jesus. You have to be able to, and this is where that grace is applicable to us, is if we do have that desire for God. It's like the person that says, oh, I'll ask for forgiveness later and sin now. You know, that's not how this works. Because their desire isn't to follow Jesus, because if it was, they wouldn't say that, right? But if our desire is to walk with him, he is gracious to us when we do stumble to pick us back up. So let's break these down a little bit. Worries of this age. As a result, you may not say this, but it's sometimes what is true, is that if you're too worried about what's going on in the world right now, and you're thinking that there's this constant pressure over you, not that these things aren't serious, that you will be too consumed with that than to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be stress, anxiety about wars and things, but if you're too distracted to respond immediately to Jesus, then that's where we start getting sidetracked and not walking with him. And really what we're saying in those moments is, I don't have space for Jesus. I'm too consumed with what's going on right now to even think about what Jesus would think. Now, a point here is this. An anxious heart delays obedience. If you're anxious about what's going on, or if you're anxious in a situation to where God's asking you to go do something for somebody, you're just really delaying that obedience that you have towards Christ. You're waiting, not because God told you to, but because you're too consumed. You're too focused on what's going on in the world around you. Second area, Jesus says here, is the deceitfulness of riches. What'll this make you say is, I'm too comfortable. You know? I've got my bank account's okay. I'm doing fine. I don't really need God. Or you might not even say that part. You might just be like, I'm doing fine right now. Nonetheless, if your bank account's full, your bank account's empty, There is this need and this dependency to rely on God and what Jesus can do for you in these moments. And this is where Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you love the wealth and money of this world, if the things you buy make you feel fulfilled, then your walk with Jesus isn't going to grow. It's hard because we all like nice stuff, no? But if the nice stuff is more important, then okay, God told me to go give this amount of money to somebody. Or even if he didn't, maybe you should try going to do that before we go buy the new thing, the new game, the new, you know, cologne, the new jacket, the new purse, whatever it is. Maybe try thinking in this way, because in order to be selfless in these moments allows for Jesus to pick you up and walk with him again, to follow him again. Again, because you think the disciples had it made, you know? Fishermen tended to do pretty well when they were around. What did they do? They dropped it. And they immediately went back and followed him. Sometimes, in order to follow Jesus, we got to drop those things, those wants, those desires that we have. And finally, again, this is a little bit different, but the here we go. Sorry. What you desire most will dictate your immediate responses. It's an important point here that, like I just said, is if your desire is for stuff, if your desire is for money, then that's what you'll immediately press checkout on Amazon for. Instead of, okay, maybe I can go do something with this money to help somebody this week. Maybe I can go give to somebody I know who's in need. And finally, the desire for other things. I want something else, something more. Notice this, that if we had to put a negative word to immediately today, that we could almost put lust. Lust is an immediate thing that says, I want that, I want this. You know, it's not always just with like relationships and sex and stuff. It also can be after money. It can be after other things. It's this immediate want that is a selfish want. But our immediate response to Jesus is a selfless desire. It's a selfless desire for wholeness. And it's what God created you to desire. Lust, status, relationships, approval, entertainment, anything more exciting than Jesus to you? That's the thing. Have we made Jesus too boring for our life? Have we made Jesus too boring for our life? Now, what do I mean by that? Do we just, you know, wake up in the morning, pour a cup of coffee, and just open up our Bible and, you know, sing a little hymn or two? Or do we allow Jesus to take us on some adventures in our life? Do we allow Jesus to take you to some places that might be a little scary to some of you? Not like, you know, life-threatening, maybe, who knows? That's what's in the Bible. But in places that aren't just on your kitchen table in the morning with your cup of coffee. Again, that's not bad. That's where we need to start, and that's not that those moments are bad. But if that is the limitations of your faith and your walk with Jesus, then maybe you're not walking with him. You're learning about him. But in the moments where Jesus leads us to people, leads you to places where people are in need, that's where you really get to experience him the most at points. Because that's what he taught us to do through Scripture here. Because if we're too consumed with these three things here, the desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, and the worries of this age, then it's not going to lead you anywhere. It's not going to lead you to anyone. So our point three here is pursuing wealth. Oh, hold on. Pursuing wealth can lead to an unfulfilled soul as it shifts reliance away from God and towards self-sufficiency. Okay, I'm sorry, I got to get moving along here. But our teaching point for desires for other things is what you crave the most will control your yes. When Jesus asks you to do something, do you say yes? Or do you immediately hesitate? When you're going to buy something on Amazon that you just saw somebody had, is it immediately add to cart and ship? Again, whatever you crave the most will determine your yes. So, that's our first part today. I know, we're almost halfway through and that's our first part. Immediately. Turn to your neighbor, say immediately. Don't. All right, everybody's still with me today. So, immediately is our first response to walking with Jesus. We can walk with him now. We can allow him to use us now, to do miracles now. Immediate. So that's the first step here today. The second step is a little bit more difficult. Second step is consistently. Following Jesus consistently sustains your walk with him. Again, that example, the simple example of walking. If I'm seeing this over here, maybe I put that down. I'm back walking with him again. See something over here that I want to go do. That's not consistent. That's a distracted walk with Jesus. So consistently following him sustains your walk with him. You will get farther in your walk with Jesus if you walk with him consistently. Simple concept, right? But I think sometimes that just hit me now. If we walk with him consistently, not that this is some lifelong spiritual race with Jesus, but we will see some more crazy things when we walk with him. You're going to see paralyzed people get up and walk immediately. You're going to see people with certain diseases that they say there's no cure, healed immediately. When you consistently walk with him. I'm not there yet. I'm sure most of us aren't. But that's where we're going. That's where we need to follow him to. Follow him to the people that we need to. Amen. Yeah. So consistently, I'm going to tie consistently and purely here. So recently I was going through Acts and a certain verse hit me. And it really emphasized these final two points in walking with Jesus today. So if you turn to Acts 1, 21. So what is going on here is after the crucifixion, Jesus comes back. And then he's talking to his disciples and he ascends into heaven. That's the condensed version. But what you're going to see here is, anybody remember Judas? Yeah, all right, we're going to forget about him. But anyways, Judas, you know, betrayed Jesus. And so now, how many disciples were there? 11. So there was 11 disciples. At this point, Scripture kind of alluded to that there needed to be 12. I don't know why, but, well, there's deeper stuff there, but we're not getting sidetracked today. There just needed to be 12. And so there was an opening, basically. New job position. New job position for some of these followers of Jesus. So day after day, you got to think, just because their names weren't mentioned here, doesn't mean that there weren't more people that followed Jesus. They weren't just labeled disciples at this point. And that's what kind of this verse is showing us here. Acts 1, 24 through 26 here. So there was a spot open. And you see two men that are called Joseph Barsabas and Matthias. And what they do is they say, okay, what are the qualifications that somebody would need to be a disciple? They need to have followed since Jesus' baptism. All right, so we're going back to the beginning of the message. Before he went out into the wilderness, Jesus got baptized. These people were there then. Okay? Then to see his ascension, the latest part of his message. That's a span of 3 years, okay? There were these two men that had followed through this time consistently. Consistently. There was no title. There was no recognition. I have never heard of these people before other than these scriptures here. I don't know if you have. They weren't mentioned. Our consistent walk with Jesus can't be determined by the level of recognition, level of acknowledgement that we see come from it. And that's the point I want to make today, is that just because you're maybe not a pastor or not, you know, super church crazy, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever your label for being all in on Jesus is, you don't need that to follow him consistently. You see, you have these two men here that followed, and the disciples are gathering to pray, and they say, Lord, you see everyone's heart. So show us which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry that Judas left to go where he belongs. When they cast lots for them, the lots fell on Matthias. And he was added to the 12 apostles. Now, he wasn't mentioned again. And what do you think happened to Barsabbas? Well, it's interesting you asked. I'm glad you did. I love this. This is so great here. Just because Barsabbas didn't get that role of disciple, early church history supports this, that says he's the earliest saint of faithfulness. He didn't walk away from Jesus, because walking with Jesus wasn't about a role, wasn't about a position. It was about loving him. Every day, you got to think, Barsabbas woke up and was like, oh, great, here we go again. Like, it's not my day today. But no, he was interested in Jesus. He loved walking with Jesus. He followed him for 3 years. I think at that point, with no money, no source of income, that following Jesus to this point, you really must have some sort of strong feelings towards him. What keeps our walk with Jesus consistent and pure is by ultimately loving him. It can't be about the miracles. It can't be about the positions or where it may take you. It has to be about that pure love for Jesus. Put it this way, in a simple way, following Jesus is a consistent habit of waking. You got to think, he woke up every day and decided to go see what Jesus was doing. He woke up every day. There's no mention of him before this, but apparently he was there. Both of them were. Every day. Consistently. Following Jesus purely means your heart is set on him, not on what you get from him, not a title, not recognition, not even about just gaining some sort of life peace, but simply on him and who he is. Every quiet yes that you went and did something, every unseen act of obedience, every moment you chose him when nobody else was looking, God sees all of it. He does. Think of it this way, in a more practical way, a person who continues to serve, they're always greeting people or helping behind the scenes. The person who quietly checks in on a friend or just shows up. Or the student who maybe chooses integrity at their school, even when nobody else is looking. None of it's flashy. It doesn't get a spotlight or a spot on Channel 12, but it's consistent, it's faithful. And that's what this consistently in pureness of walking with him looks like. So, we've got immediately, we've got consistently, and we've got purely. When you have this, it will lead you to people. Again, our emphasis today is it's going to lead you somewhere. And not just random people, but people in need. Because that's where Jesus always went, was where there was people in need. Again, this is as nice if you have, you know, your coffee in the morning and sit and read the Bible. Everybody's somewhere. But if it doesn't prompt you immediately to do something, again, you're just reading a book. And this hit me this week when I was writing this, is the simplicity of what Jesus is asking you to do. Is love God and love others. That's as simple as it is. But can we do that immediately? Can we do that consistently? And can we do that purely? And if your walk with Jesus isn't putting you in front of people in need, again, I don't know how you can be 100% positive that you're walking with him. This verse always gets me. Matthew 25 reminds us that it's towards the parable of on the Mount. It says, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it for me. When you love Jesus, when you're walking with him, that person that can barely walk and is struggling to open the door, you go over and open that door for him. You basically just did that for Jesus. The person who's on the side of the street has no hope. You pull over and you go talk to them about Jesus. Listen, you don't even have anything to give them. It doesn't matter. You have God. You have Jesus to go talk to them about. You're doing that unto Jesus himself. He sees that. That's where his mission is to people that are hurting and in need. It opens your eyes to needs in your life as well. You see people more, and the Holy Spirit's going to direct your steps. You're going to be able to see people that have a need, and you're able to meet that some way or somehow. And that's the goodness of our God, is it's not a selfish type of faith. It's a selfless type of faith, ultimately displayed by Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm breaking up a little. So ask yourself, is my faith and my walk with Jesus leading me to people in need? Think about it this way. You're practically walking with Jesus. Instead of, you know, getting sidetracked with desires of this life or wealth or money, you're walking with Jesus and somebody's in front of you. You actually see somebody. It's as simple as it is. It doesn't need to get overly complicated. This is what he asked you to do. Love God and love others. And how we love others, the best way that he's told us to, is by walking with him. And remember, Jesus didn't just invite you to watch. He says, come over here. Come follow me. Come see what this is about. And then you're actually going to do it. He didn't just say, you know, sit down and watch the latest episode of The Chosen, you know, and see what this is about. But no, he says, go out and live this. We start to love like him. We start to serve like Jesus. So to keep this simple, when you see a need, respond. Don't overthink it. It's an immediate response. And don't assume somebody else will do it. You know, I've been guilty of this too. You drive by the person on the side of the road and you're like, God will find somebody else to talk to them. I'm pretty hungry and I need to go get lunch and just keep driving. No, if you see them, that's your point of going to do something about it. If you see a friend that's struggling, that's your point. That's what you need to go do. Come follow them in some way that you can help support them and show them Jesus. If Jesus puts it in front of you, say yes immediately. In closing here, turn to 2 Corinthians 11:3. Before we dive into that, just a brief recap of consistently showing up daily, even starting small, doing little things, and return quickly when you drift away. Build rhythms, not moments. You know, church has had plenty of people come up here that accept Jesus and then that was just their moment. It wasn't a rhythm. It wasn't a lifestyle. Purely, it's our heart check with Jesus. Check your motives. Am I doing this for Jesus or am I doing it for myself? Remove distractions. Be honest with him. This is the most practical one I can give you today. Just be honest with Jesus. Say, God, yeah, what he talked about today was nice, but I don't really get all of that or want to do any of that. Okay. But then Jesus is going to either lead you somewhere to do something about that to get you to go to that place that I'm talking about. Or, being honest and having that conversation opens the door for Jesus to work in you about it. And then guard your inputs. This one's important. Sometimes we're getting too much discipled by our scrolling than we are God's word and by Jesus. You know, your Instagram feed and Facebook feed are great, and I'm so happy to see all the times we repost things, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. But sometimes it's just as simple as this. It's as simple as praying. That's the walk with him. Because if we're not careful, we can substitute those things for our actual walk with Jesus. All right, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. This is Paul writing this. He's warning them that those things that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower would distract and ultimately destroy your devotion to Christ. I like this word, devotion. Because you can't be, you know, devoted to something without being fully devoted to something. Think of it as if with your spouse. You're fully devoted to them because you fully love them. And what happens when one spouse cheats on another spouse is they weren't fully devoted. It's a simple way. But this devotion is all of ourselves, is this fully type of walk that we can have with Jesus. Is that he gets everything we have. He gets all your thoughts. He gets your whole life. Because ultimately, God deserves every ounce of it. He does. Titus 3:8 here. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to insist on this today. So that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. This devotion, this pure and simple devotion to Jesus, will produce a pure and simple devotion to good works. We're coming through a time of Christianity where, you know, it's not always about good works. And no, it's not. You're not saved by works. Jesus doesn't love you because of the works. But now we've just, can I be frank? Maybe we've gotten a little lazy. Now we don't want to do anything but just sit and read our Bible and, you know, Jesus loves me, you know. But no, that devotion to Christ is a devotion to good works as well. Is a devotion to actually live something out in your life. And what does that do? That makes you not selfish. Devote themselves to every good work. Those are good and profitable for me? No, but for everyone. Everyone. Your walk with Jesus has the ultimate potential of being a blessing, not just to you, but to everyone around you. That's one of the earliest promises that Abraham prays, is that, God, help me be a blessing to others because of the blessing you've given me. So these areas allow us to walk with Jesus with everything we have, your spirit, your soul, and your mind. And following Jesus wasn't and isn't supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to make you complete. Following him immediately, not later. following him consistently, not occasionally, and following him purely, not half-heartedly, will allow you to walk with Jesus. And when you do that, you don't just follow him partially, you follow him purely. And you follow him with your whole life. And it begins to change you from the inside to the outside. Because when you truly walk with Jesus, he doesn't just stop with you. It goes to other people. And they can have breakthrough and change because of you and your walk with him. You start to forgive people to the utmost. I know that's hard. You forgive people. You begin to give to those people who you once rejected. Maybe the people that, you know, you really can't stand. Again, if you're recognizing it, then maybe that's somebody God's trying to get you to go to and walk to. And you carry hope to people that have no hope. That's what it means to follow Jesus. He loves you and he cares about you. But again, if the ultimate following in our lives is just a hearing, then it's not a knowing. Because we ultimately get to know Jesus through these different aspects. As we close, I just want you to take a couple minutes to just think about your walk with Jesus. Have a personal moment with Jesus. I want you to picture yourself somewhere with him. Just think, like, if you're on a beach somewhere, walking. Jesus is walking right there next to you. He's talking to you. He doesn't walk in silence. He's talking to you. But if we're listening and walking with him, we can hear him better. And finally, I want to invite those who maybe feel distant from him, maybe feel like they really don't know him. After service, come down. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you about this. But if you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And just picture that. Picture you walking with Jesus. It's a simple moment where you're just following him and walking with him. Immediately, completely, and constantly. He loves you so very much, and he cares about you more than you could even imagine. And he's giving you the grace to be able to walk with him. Like I said, Jesus is probably one of the most famous names and people in the world. And you have the ability right now, as you're doing, to walk with him. Jesus. Begin to call out to him, Jesus. Those of us that feel like we see Jesus from a distance, call out to him, Jesus, 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 Jesus. God's not far from you. He reminds us that if we seek him and run after him, we're going to find him and you're going to catch up with him. Lord, continue to help each of us in the room today to be able to walk with you, to love you fully, to do what you've asked us immediately, and to consistently follow you, Lord. God, where some of us may struggle, God, allow us to see your love in those moments that break the sin, that break the chains, that break whatever habits hold us from walking with you. Lord, those habits that take away that fullness of life that you promised us, those habits that bring us anxiousness, those habits that leave us feeling empty inside. God, we bring them to you. We want to walk with you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that today each of us better understands what it means to walk with you. And thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that you continue to grow this in us, Lord, and that we welcome it, and that we produce something from it, God. Continue to keep our hearts and eyes open to those people around us who are in need and the ones you've called us to love, Lord. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name.